Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:55 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is February 2nd. Well, today started out with fireworks in Asia. There was a number of markets that posted really quite impressive upward dynamics, not least of which was the Philippines. It was the first market to break to the upside, and now it's extending that advance in no uncertain terms. The Nasdaq was also in positive territory, and it is extending its breakout. There are short-term overbought conditions evident on a number of markets. In Asia, we continue to see that that's where some of the leading markets reside. There are a number of markets, such as the Singapore market or the Taiwanese market, are up to the upper side of their four-month ranges. They're testing their 200-day moving averages. They do need to break up out of those ranges to really reassert medium-term the medium-term bullish outlook. If we look at the Indian market, the banks had another good day. They've broken their progression of lower rally highs. They're back above the 200-day moving average. They've been leading on the upside. That's really a very positive outcome because the banks have been leading throughout the last 3 years. China was a bit more positive today, but it needs to do more to really suggest that a medium-term low is being formed here. And over the medium term, it does need to break the progression of lower rally highs that have been evident for at least the last year. The Hang Seng has been doing substantially better. It was up by 2% today. It's outperforming the mainland index by considerable margin at this stage. The ASX in Australia was up by 1%. You didn't have the same degree of ebullience in European markets, and they were most of them finished in positive territory, but not by a great deal. The FTSE was relatively unchanged. The DAX was stronger by about 0.6%. In Wall Street, the Dow Jones is finishing out the day down just a tad, the S&P up a tad, and the Nasdaq up about a third of 1%. Following a 2% advance yesterday, Brazil was relatively unchanged in here today. When we look at some of those stock markets, we do see these short-term overbought conditions. It's important to distinguish between an overbought condition within the confines of a well-defined range and between an overbought condition evident on an oscillator, but where a market has broken out of a comparatively lengthy range. At the chart seminar, we talk about a range as being an explosion waiting to happen. If ranges are boring compared to the trending phases, they are decision-making periods where people that have who want to be in the market and have bids below the market need to raise them if they want to be in this market, and those who are impatient, they sell into the range. A range is where you have a balance between supply and demand. But because it's a decision-making time, what it happens is that you have a thinning out of demand below the market and supply above. So when you do get the breakout, it hits this pocket or this vacuum of supply above the market, and it rallies faster and farther than many would have expected, and it'll keep going until it encounters supply once more. That means that when you have this breakout and the vacuum of supply has developed above the market, then the market can continue to rally faster and farther than you would have expected. Even though it is overbought on a short-term oscillator, it can become more overbought and it can stay overbought for longer than it would have done previously. That's what we're seeing with a market like the Philippines, or indeed the Nasdaq. The Dow Jones is right up to the upper side of its range. It's testing I think it was last year's peaks. It's, I think, less than 150 points away from them. It's the region of 13,000 has been an area of resistance for the last 18 months. The 2007-2008 peaks are around 14,000. It's not such a logical leap that it's going to break upwards at some point this year and potentially rally to test the 2007-2008 peak. When we look at some of those markets that have broken upwards and then compare them to other markets which haven't done quite as well, but have done very well over the last week, last month, then we have these short-term overbought conditions. Some of these markets have been rallying for 4 or 5 weeks. They're in need of at least a pause and consolidation, which allows them to unwind that overbought condition and then reassert to the upside. Subsequently, we've had higher reaction lows in October, November, and December. We've had a very impressive rally in January. There's at least a better than 50-50 chance that we're going to have another higher reaction low at some point in February. When we look at some of these other markets in here today, gold has done very well. It's up over $15. It's testing the $1,760 area. The gold price has done everything that it needed to do. It found support in the region of the 200-day moving average. It has now rallied to break the downtrend from the September peak. It's rallying towards 1,800, which represents the progression of lower rally highs. It is also a little bit overbought in the short term. Nothing has happened to question the potential for it to extend the current rally, but the short-term overbought condition does suggest that it is going to pull back at some point. It is probably going to find support at a progressively higher level, and that the next rally will take it above the 1800 level or above the wherever it tops out on this particular rally, and that the next time will probably be the time that it breaks out and pushes on to new high ground. Oil is relatively interesting in here because West Texas Intermediate was down by almost a dollar in here today, but Brent crude was up by 80 cents. And when you look at the spread between those two crude oil contracts, it compressed from $27 to under $8 by early December, but it has now started to turn around and it has broken out of a basin this the last couple of days. A sustained move below $10 would really be required to question the outperformance of Brent crude in this environment. The potential for the... We've talked at length over the last year about the potential for the USA to become energy independent within the next 10 to 15 years. That's assuming that the that policies that support that ambition are put in place. Part of the reason that oil prices in continental USA are coming down is because you have North Dakota oil coming on, a shale oil coming on stream. It's overwhelming supply at the Cushing terminal. You have had a reduced demand component because of the slow return to growth of the economy. Natural gas is at... let me see. Natural gas was up by 15 cents today. It was as low as $2.34. It finished out the day at $2.54. And that's cheap. It makes a great deal of unconventional supply uneconomic, but you're having large companies like ExxonMobil announcing today that it's going to continue to produce as much as it can. The USA has abundant natural gas. It makes sense to migrate as much of the economy as possible onto natural gas. That would help to reduce the costs to the economy. It would also help to reduce the dependence on foreign oil. The USA also has a great deal of shale oil, and those two factors together could help to make the country energy independent. And that's a laudable aim, particularly when the deficit situation is as concerning as it is. U.S. Treasuries today were a little bit stronger. They've rallied right up here to the upper side of the range. They've encountered a little bit of resistance up here. Swiss bonds are pushing onto new high ground. German bunds are steady in the region of 140. We've had a fantastic rally in risk assets. The majority of these sovereign bonds have pushed back up to the upper side of their ranges. They will need to sustain moves above those 4 and 5 month ranges to really reassert the medium term uptrend. And I think it's questionable just how far they can go. What we are seeing, though, is that governments have pretty universally engaged in quantitative easing, and that has helped to support government bond prices. So they could push higher here, and we certainly don't see any downward dynamics which would suggest that there has been an overhang of supply above this market. Of course, when governments eventually attempt to unwind these positions, then there is the potential for a rather abrupt decline in prices and a rise in yields. There's no evidence that that's about to happen just now. And rather than seeing central banks lining up to begin to reverse their policy, we're actually seeing central banks lining up to ease policy, as they all fear deflationary risks and a slowing global economy in 2012 and potentially even 2013. The industrial metal complex has been really quite firm over the last couple of weeks, but it was a little bit softer in here today. The soft commodity complex was also relatively unchanged to weaker in here. The US dollar was pretty unchanged in here today. The euro is hovering around the $1.3150 area. It's unwound a good deal of the oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average. It will need to sustain a downward dynamic beyond a couple of days to suggest, I think, to really confirm that it has encountered resistance in this area, but it doesn't look like it's got a great deal further to go in here. Whereas euro-dollar is still the most important currency pair that there is out there, it doesn't really reflect the capacity for growth in the global economy. And Asian currencies had a good strong day in here today. Latin American currencies also continue to firm. That is symptomatic of the seepage of liquidity out of the central bank operations and into higher yielding assets or those that have the potential for capital appreciation. There is a sound investment theme that is helping to soak up investor interest. We're in the greatest globalization in history. That's helping to support the outperformance of consumer-led shares. Unilever was a bit of a standout today. It missed its earnings target. It had a very good upward dynamic yesterday. It completely countermanded it, and then some today. It's pulled back to the 200-day moving average, and this is the area where it needs to find support. If the medium-term uptrend is going to remain consistent, it's going to find support in this area. People are going to have to look past the missed earnings target and look at the longer-term potential. So we'll see where it does from here. Royal Dutch Shell also had disappointing earnings in here today. That has also pulled back to test the 200-day moving average. They're expecting it to raise its dividend for this year. So that will certainly help to encourage yield-hungry investors. But this is the area where, if it's going to remain consistent, then it will have to find support in this area. Now, you can compare the two charts. Certainly, Unilever has been the more consistent. It's found support in the region of the EMA on successive occasions. And it would be a much greater loss of consistency for Unilever if it fails to find support in this area. By contrast, Royal Dutch has been considerably more volatile. It's been prone to these large reactions, and it has been best bought following them. So that will be less worrying from the perspective of a longer-term investor, because this share has been prone to these big pullbacks. So one can't be that surprised if it puts in another one. The fact that it is raising its dividend should help to mitigate that risk. Today was also notable because Glencore is considering or has already bid for Xstrata. There was speculation when Glencore listed that the reason it was listing was because it wanted to take over Xstrata, and it's looking increasingly likely that that's going to go ahead. Now, that also helped to turn the focus back to the industrial metal miners. We've had a good rally in the industrial metals, and the industrial metal miners were some of the better performers on the FTSE in here today. So BHP Billiton continues to look like it's going to sustain the breakup out of this range. Same with Rio Tinto. Obviously, Xstrata surged in here today, and Glencore was also really quite positive. It already owns a big chunk of Xstrata already. The prospect for these shares to continue to push to the upside is really quite positive, particularly as we're seeing a great deal of liquidity hitting the market, and we're seeing that a number of Asian markets are actually spending a good deal of cash on infrastructure projects, and they're going to need the raw materials for that development. So as long as we're seeing these banks pumping money into the system, then this cyclical bull market will remain in place. And nothing has happened yet to really question that hypothesis. With that, I'll leave you for the evening, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.